Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Marcia Pilgrim to commence a further chapter of Office Wife.
I'm at Uncle Tresidor's, and I'm so wild I'd like to smash something. I went to the office with Jeff tonight to help with some work, because not having a secretary, he's been getting behind. And what do you think happened? We stumbled on that utterly hateful brooch of mine. It had somehow fallen down behind Jeff's drawer, and it's been lying there all this time. I wouldn't care tuppence, only Jeff said we fired Stella Bronson by pretending to believe she'd taken it. So now we could jolly well put matters right by reinstating her. What does he take me for, an imbecile?
But just a minute, Marcia. This requires a little thought.
Why does it? You're not going to let Jeff dictate to you, are you?
Certainly not, but there is such a thing as doing what's right and proper.
I don't see anything right or proper in taking Stella Bronson back. It's utterly ridiculous.
Who said anything about taking her back? I think we should write...
Who's we? You and I?
No, don't be absurd, girl. Officially, you've nothing to do with the firm. Now the brooch has been found, I think we should write her a note of apology. Perhaps send her a check for, say, a 3 months' salary.
What if she wants her position back?
No, she could be difficult.
But how could she?
My dear Marcia, times have changed. You can't fire people without good cause these days. She could conceivably turn round and sue us.
What?
Well, she had a contract. The contract had several escape clauses for the firm. We didn't exactly accuse her of stealing your infernal brooch, but we implied that if... she didn't tear up her contract, we'd jolly well use the brooch affair to make it unpleasant for her. And quite frankly, she was so quick and lively about leaving the firm, I rather thought she had taken it.
What about Percy Fleming?
Well, in justice to Percy, I'm bound to admit, he said all along we weren't behaving up to scratch.
He would, the old humbug.
No, girl, that won't do. We're in the wrong. We have to face up to it.
Jeff will say I owe Stella an apology.
What do you say?
I'll starve first.
That's something you'll have to thrash out with Jeff. Oh, but here, what are we worrying about? Who's going to tell Stella Bronson the brooch has been found? Why should she know anything about it?
I could have wrung Jeff's neck. He grabbed the phone and rang Stella the very moment we picked my brooch from off the floor.
No, hang the chap. So the fat's in the fire. Yeah, well, I'm going to sleep on it. I'll see if I can arrange a game of golf with Buller in the morning. We'll see. Maybe the Bronson girl's happier where she is.
There you are, Miss Bronson. All yours. How do you like it?
Oh, Mr. Buller, my own office. Oh, but what's this?
Haven't you seen one before? It's an IBM electric typewriter. If you ask me where I got the dollars to pay for it...
Oh, I wouldn't dream of asking.
Wise girl. Now then, you've been here a week, and you know the run of the place. So now for your duties in detail. They'll sound simple, but you'll find they're exacting. You're to be my hostess, I suppose you'd call it.
I'm going to love every minute of it.
When my chaps are travelling, or when people come from overseas... They're in your hands. You'll be meeting chaps off the planes, seeing them into their pubs and so on. And when I entertain at my place, you'll have to be on hand to pass the anchovies. And, well, doesn't sound much, but there's a lot in it. Public relations, I suppose you'd call it. All right. It's all yours. And see you earn your dough.
It sounds like the perfect job. Thank you very much, Mr. Puller.
As I do a lot of my business on a social basis... And in future, that means you. But one thing.
What's that, Mr. Pullet?
You said just now it's the perfect job. You're sure you're going to like it better than being young Pilgrim's secretary?
I haven't made any comparison, actually.
Well, don't. And before I go off to play golf, remember that what you were up to at Bendigo was your own business. Now you're with me, anything of the sort in future will be my business, too. You understand?
Why, Mr. Fuller, I've always understood you.
Yes. Yes, maybe you have at that.
Sink that putt, Benny, and we halve the hole.
I can count. What are you trying to do, put me off?
Oh, it's only 15 feet. Ken Bob, you miss it.
You're on.
Oh,
made it.
Gosh. You did too. You're still one up. I think I'll try a spoon for the eighth boy. How often do you sink 15-footers, Puller?
Every time you bet me 10 bob, I'll miss. And if that pair in front stay on the tee much longer, they'll take root.
Oh, we can wait. Tell me, Benny, how's that girl? What's her name again? Bronson. How's she making out with you?
Bronson? Bronson? Who would that be?
Oh, come off it, you know I mean.
And you know her name. I've been waiting for you to mention her treasurer. We're only playing golf this morning because she's on your mind. What's up?
Is she staying on with you?
I should hope so. Why? What goes on? She wants her back.
Well, she may want to come back.
You seen her office? You seen her electric typewriter? You seen her salary?
No, have it your own way. There was some trouble when she left us. Did you know?
I knew and she knew. The moment that niece of yours lost her brooch or whatever it was, the Bronson girl came to me and said she thought she might be railroaded out. And she was right. Right?
Railroaded be hanged. I take a poor view of that, Benny. No, she was asked to resign for legitimate reasons.
I don't want to hear a long story. I asked you what's on your mind.
She had a contract and we broke it. She's holding some cards at the moment and she could sue us.
Just a minute. Let me figure this out. Yes, got it. The brooch turned up, and the Bronson girl knows.
Yes, that's about the size of it.
But what do you want me to do?
I don't want you to do anything. I'd just like to know she intends staying with you, that's all.
As far as I know, she is. And that's all you're getting from me on the subject, Cressida. If you have to stoop to shady tactics to sack one of your own employees, don't come to me about it.
I stoop to nothing.
You mean you stop at nothing? Think I'm blind? There's a foursome coming onto the green. We better get on with it. Oh. Using a spoon, are you?
Yes.
Not for me. Give me a number one iron, boy. I'll be on for two.
As I'm concerned, Marcia, darling, you're making a lot of fuss over absolutely nothing.
But I've already told you. Jeff swears that Stella Bronson must at least be offered her job back.
Who's he swore it to? You or your Uncle Bendigo?
To me. He hasn't had a chance to see Uncle Tressida yet.
Oh, if I were you, darling, I'd have another martini and calm down. Husbands always rush about threatening this and that. It's necessary for their self-esteem, poor dear.
Angela, will you please stop being fatuous? Jeff declared he'd walk out.
Didn't he declare he'd walk out if you interfered in his office and his work? Darling, you had his secretary fired, and if that's not butting in...
That was different.
Not so that you'd notice. And he's still around, isn't he? He's promised to leave you if you mess about again and look at you. Organizing this, Barbara phrased the girl straight into Stella Bronson's shoes.
Good Lord, Angela, shut up. Here she comes. Talk of the devil. They're making straight for us.
Hello. Mind if I join you for a minute? There doesn't seem to be anywhere else to sit. Good afternoon, Mrs. Pilgrim.
How do you do?
Like a drink, Stella?
No, thanks. I'm being met in a minute. So your brooch turned up after all, Mrs. Pilgrim.
What about it?
I thought it was rather quaint, that's all.
Quaint?
Why, marvelously so. It disappeared for just long enough. The moment I tore my contract up and left your uncle's firm, there it was.
Are you trying to insinuate that I had anything to do with all that?
Why, Mrs. Pilgrim, I wouldn't dream of such a thing. I suppose it was all for the best, really. I mean, a job gets so tiresome when there's someone peering over one's shoulder all the time, like a witch on a stick.
Exactly what do you mean by that?
No, nothing. Nothing at all.
Oh, can't anyone think of another subject?
I find this one completely fascinating. I was suspected of theft and fired. And now? Well, wouldn't you think someone would apologize or something?
Don't look at me.
I'm not. I'm looking at Mrs. Pilgrim.
You can keep on looking, Miss Bronson. I've nothing whatever to do with my uncle's firm, or who gets fired or who doesn't, and that includes you. And if you don't mind my saying so, I find your company rather boring. Didn't you say something about being met?
Yes. He's just coming in now. Before I go, would it be very horrible of me if I demanded my job with Jeff back again, and made a fuss if it was refused? Because after listening to you this afternoon, Mrs. Pilgrim, that's just what I'm going to do. Goodbye. Goodbye, Angela.
Now you've torn it, Marcia.
She can't do a thing. Uncle Tressida will buy her off.
Oh, the kindest thing I can say about you, Marcia, darling, is that you're a little fool. Why couldn't you be nice to her? This time, my pet, she'll really have Geoffrey on her side.
Nice to that creature. She can do what she likes when she likes. She'll never set foot inside the Bendigo building again, never. I don't care how we got her away from Jeff. It was worth it. Let her bluff about her silly contract and making trouble with Uncle Tressida. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about my husband.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.